Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. I'll be taking you through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. You guys can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. And this podcast is available, as always, at MMAoddsbreaker.com. And on our YouTube channel, please like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. A couple pieces of news to talk about today and a few fight announcements. Let's get right into it. First thing I want to talk about is Yair Rodriguez and Jeremy Stephens. They're still going at it. So yesterday, there was some footage released. I believe it was Yair Rodriguez's sister who took the video. There was an altercation at the hotel room. Yair called for Stevens to come over. He came over. They went basically nose to nose. And Yair said something to Stevens, kind of hard to say, hear what he said. And then Stevens shoved him. They started getting into a shouting match. They were calling each other some pretty nasty words, including a derogatory word for homosexuals. So it wasn't pretty, and UFC hasn't said anything about this yet. I mean, honestly, it's one of those situations where I don't think they expected the footage to be released to the public, but it wasn't good. And definitely they said some stuff that was very uncalled for, and I would hope that they do send some sort of public apology out there, because it didn't look good. Now what I want to talk about here is Yair Rodriguez has gone on Instagram, and he's accused Jeremy Stephens of quitting from that fight. So to me, it's crazy. Like, this guy might have been one of the most like loved fighters coming into this matchup. But since then, since the last couple of days, I feel like fans have really kind of just shied away from him. Maybe not the fans in Mexico, because they're going to love him either way. But I think a lot of other fans and media even are just surprised by the way Yair is conducting himself. Just doesn't seem like the same guy that we've all seen the last few years. Like, a very, very confident and polite guy. He's just been very just different the last few days. First off, the Bisping thing, where Bisping put his arm on his shoulder and Yair freaked out. Yair jumping on top of the cage, acting like he won when he raked Stevens in the eye and the fight was over. And now he's calling Stevens a quitter. It's kind of bad. So I feel like he's lost some fans. And I just think he needs to stop talking at this point, because I think everyone wants to see this matchup, but he doesn't need to say anything about it anymore. And calling a guy that you raked in the eye as a quitter just seems wrong to me. So I'd like for Yair Rodriguez just to kind of stop talking about this. I hope the UFC rebooks this fight. They'd be making a mistake if they booked anything else. But at this point, it's like, what's the point of saying anything? The fight's over. It was a no contest. You poked the guy in the eye. He wasn't able to continue. You couldn't see. And now you're calling him a quitter, making him try to look bad. It's not the way it works. So to me, Yair, I love the guy, great fighter, but man, he's really coming off very poorly, and he's coming off as a poor sport, and that's not very good. So hopefully they can rebook this fight. We can see who the better man is, and we can move on. But for now, they've just been going after each other, and some of the stuff they've been saying is pretty nasty, and some of the stuff they've been saying is just very uncalled for. All right, next thing I want to talk about here is Uriah Faber. So Daniel Rubenstein is one of the, I guess, top managers in the sport right now. He manages a few fighters, including Peter Yan. He said that in a tweet that Uriah Faber is retired, that the UFC wanted to book him against Peter Yan. Faber didn't want the fight, so he retired. Some people ran with the story, and fairly enough, I mean, the guy was pretty adamant that Faber's done and he doesn't want to fight Yan. I truly do believe the UFC actually tried to book that fight. It makes a lot of sense, especially with Cejudo tied up. Yan versus Faber is a big fight. It's a great fight. With Faber obviously coming off that great win over Ricky Simon, Yan is on a nice win streak right now. He's one of the top prospects, if not top contenders at this point for the title. But Faber wasn't happy with what Rubenstein said, and Faber went to his Instagram today, and he said that it's a lie, and he's just basically accused Rubenstein and Sean Shelby, the matchmaker, of just talking to each other and trying to get basically Faber to take this fight with Yan. But according to Faber, he's dealing with Dana White personally. I guess he's at that level right now where he doesn't have to deal with the matchmakers. He can just deal with Dana White. And you know what? I mean, for Faber, it's like, this guy's been around for so long, and I think he has nothing but the respect of Dana White. So I think Dana's cool with that. But definitely the matchmakers and the managers, obviously, are trying to get him to take this fight with Yan. And I think it's a great fight. I'd like to see this matchup. Faber recently came out and said that he wants a new contract. He wants to pay more money. And again, fair enough. I mean, the guy looked great, and I think he might still be on his old contract from four or five years ago, right? So I can't blame him for wanting to get some more money out of this, but it's just kind of getting a little bit nasty now. So we'll see what happens. According to Faber, he's not retired. He's still going to fight again. It looks like the fight with Peter Yan is something UFC wants, so we'll see if they can get that booked. I'd like to see that fight. Like I mentioned, it's a good fight. It makes a lot of sense right now, but clearly there's some gap between the UFC and Faber and the matchmakers and money. if they get that gap closed, this fight can get booked, and I think that's a great fight. Now, speaking about that division, and the reason why Daniel Rubenstein even said anything but favor was because there was a picture of Aljamain Sterling he posted of himself in the hospital. He basically had surgery, and he will not be fighting Frankie Edgar. There was rumors that he'd be fighting Frankie at UFC 244 in New York. That's not going to happen. That could possibly be why Frankie's been calling out Conor the last few days, and Conor's been calling Frankie out because they know Frankie doesn't have a fight now. The Sterling versus Frankie fight would have been a good matchup for him at 135. That's not going to happen, obviously, with Sterling out. And with Sterling injured, it was the right time for him to do this surgery because Cejudo is obviously not going to be fighting anytime soon. And when he does, he's probably going to fight at 125 against Joe Benavidez. So Sterling's going to have surgery, and he really probably won't even lose his spot in line. That is unless Peter Yang goes out there and knocks out Faber in like the first minute and basically steals his spot in the rankings. But for now, Sterling's going to have surgery. He already did have surgery, and he'll be out for a few months bending from his injuries and recovery. So when he gets back, he'll obviously be one of the top guys. Maybe he fights Peter Yang at that point for the number one contender spot, but yeah, he will not be fighting Frankie Edgar. I still do think Frankie probably fights in that New York card. I don't think he's going to get the Conor fight, but there's probably someone else at 135 that he could fight. I mean, even Peter Yang makes a lot of sense, right? Like, that'd be a good fight. And Frankie, even though he's coming down to 135, still a guy that's highly respected. So maybe you do Peter Yang versus Frankie if Faber doesn't want that fight with Yang. Although I think based on the rankings and based on the fact Faber's actually coming off a win, the Yang fight makes a little bit more sense. UFC released a really great poster yesterday with Lego-inspired drawings of Jack Hermanson and Jared Cannonier. It was pretty cool. Nice to see the UFC get a little bit creative. A lot of their posters are very boring, just the two fighters' faces and then the name of the card. This was actually a pretty cool poster. It was nice to see them get a little creative. So I just wanted to mention that quickly. You could check that out anywhere, really. There's the poster everywhere. And a lot of people are saying it's one of the better posters the UFC's had, and I kind of agree. I mean, it's kind of fun, right? So it's cool. Lego's from Denmark, so that's pretty cool. And when I was a kid, I loved Lego. So for me, this was actually kind of sweet to see because I was really into Lego. I mean, my parents probably spent so much money on buying Legos when I was a little kid to build those. I love them, man. So Lego's pretty cool, and it was nice to see the UFC get a little poster with them. Now, a couple of fight announcements I want to talk about quickly. UFC Washington, D.C. gets a light heavyweight bout between Alonzo Menifield and Trevor Smith. Trevor Smith was supposed to fight Little Nog in Brazil, I believe, and he's not going to be fighting him, obviously, anymore. Little Nog barely fights, so I'm not surprised that he pulled out again. But he'll be taking on Alonzo Menifield now, and this, to me, is a horrible matchup for Trevor Smith. Like, you couldn't think of a worse matchup. Lando Manfield, let's talk about him really quickly here. He is a really big, just talent. I mean, the guy's incredible, I think. Now, you know, 31 years old, so he's in his prime right now. And all his wins are by stoppage. Started fighting in 2015. He actually started fighting in Bellator, and they couldn't keep him signed. He went to RFA at LFA and then Dana White's Contender Series. And since then, he's been fighting in the UFC, basically. He's also been in LFA, but the guys look great. Back-to-back wins in the first round were Paul Craig and Venetia. Obviously, those are two of the weaker guys in that division, but still, this guy's looked like unbelievable. He's a beast, man. I think Menifield, you talk about the top prospects at 205, he's 100% up there, in my opinion, with guys like Johnny Walker and guys like that. So I think he's great, and I can't wait to see him just really get a step up. This fight against Trevor Smith is, of course, a fight you should win. Trevor Smith is, he's barely hanging on to the UFC. He's been fighting at middleweight for years, just moving up to light heavyweight now. I don't know about this move for him. He's, what's his record? You see, let's check it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 5 and 6. So, you know, he's somehow hung onto a job over the years, but the guy's chin isn't great. He's been knocked out 4 times in his career. He hasn't been knocked out since 2014, so you got to give him credit to that for just basically hanging on to decisions. But he's lost 3 of his last 4 back-to-back losses over to Zach Cummings and to Elias Theodoro. Basically got grinded, and Alonzo Menifield has so much power. This guy's been knocked out a bunch of times. I can't see any other way this fight ending than Menifield standing over Trevor Smith and the referee jumping in to stop the fight. I think Menifield knocks him out in the first round. I don't even think that the line's going to be close. I expect the betting line to be like minus 800, minus 900, something like that for Alonzo Menifield. It probably gets bet up even more. This is a terrible matchup for Trevor Smith. I'm surprised he took this fight. Maybe the UFC just told him, hey, this is the only fight we have for you. If you don't want it, we're going to release you. So bad match, just a really bad matchup for Trevor Smith. I think he loses pretty easily. And one other fight announcement to talk about here. Julia Avila takes on Carol Rosa at UFC Singapore. A lot of people are calling Julia Avila one of the top prospects at women's 135. She's definitely good. She's looked good in the UFC. One one fight against Panny Hands. I looked good in that fight. One loss in her career. She, I think, broke her finger. So That's it. And she has some good wins. Marion Renault, she beat Nico Montano. She has some good wins there. She's definitely a good prospect. I don't know if she's going to be a title contender anytime soon, because that division, there's quite a few fighters that are waiting in line for that title shot, but she's definitely solid. Takes on Carol Roestinger, 24 years old. She's got one win in the UFC against Lara Procopio. She won that fight back in August on the Andrade Zhang card, won by split decision. She's won three straight fights. I guess that would be the biggest win of her career, and that's over someone that kind of had no real name. She's fought a few other fighters with some sort of name in Brazil, but for the most part, hasn't really fought high-level competition. I'd like Avila in this fight as well. Again, I expect her to be a favorite in this fight. Obviously not to the extent that Menafield's going to be, who I just talked about, but definitely I think Julia Avila will be favored in that fight. You have Singapore. That, of course, is the card headlined by Ben Askren and Damian Maia. So I think that's about it. Maybe I should mention quickly that apparently Artem Lobov wants to fight Paulie Malignaggi again on the KSI Logan Paul card. Personally, not something I'm interested in. I believe that card's on DAZN, so I'm sure a lot of MMA fans will be able to watch that. But personally, it's not something I'm interested in. I definitely want to mention it, though, because I know those guys have kind of big names. So that's it for today, guys. I appreciate you tuning in, as always. You can check me out on Twitter at MMAdamMartin. This podcast is available at MMAoddsBreaker.com and on our YouTube channel. Please like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARings.net. I should mention, myself and Cole Shelton did a full breakdown show yesterday for UFC Copenhagen. That card takes place this weekend. It's going to be a really good card, in my opinion. We also did full breakdowns for Bellator 227 and Bellator 228. I'm still looking for the full odds for those cards. They have not been released yet, hopefully soon. But we know the odds makers are a little bit slower with the Bellator cards. They usually come out the day before the fight, if not the day of the fight. So it's unfortunate we have to wait so long, but they'll be out soon. Until then, you have tons of fights to bet on for UFC Copenhagen. All 12 fights have odds, or 13 fights, I should say. And also, Kabachi 45 has odds up for it, too. So if you're into the betting on the Kabachi, that's available now as well. Once again, guys, thanks for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow morning talking about the latest in the world of MMA. Have a good one.